From Hollywood, welcome to Starlight Mystery Theater and another episode in the series Matthew Slade, Private Investigator. We invite you to take your seat as Matthew Slade unfolds the story, Find Julie Rayton.
In my job, the hours are odd. So are the circumstances and the people I meet. You could even call some of them dangerous. My calling card reads, Matthew Slade, Private Investigator. It was 11 a.m. I was calling on a new client. Her name, Lynn Hollander, 23. Attractive and in need of help. That's all Sergeant Sid Dinelli had told me. I was about to find out the rest for myself. Miss Hollander?
Yes?
I'm Matthew Slade.
Oh, yes. Please come in. Won't you sit down?
Thank you. I'm afraid I've awakened you.
No. I've been up for some time. Please forgive the dressing gown. I haven't been feeling well. I've been home from work this past week.
I hope you're feeling better now.
Thank you. I probably should have waited till I was able to come to your office to see you.
No, not at all. Sergeant Dinelli said you needed help.
Did he tell you everything?
Not everything. I'd like to hear it all from you.
Well, my roommate, Julie Rayden, has been missing for about a week now. I reported it to the police after the second day, and they told me they'd do everything possible to locate her. And yesterday, Sergeant Dinelli said he'd speak to you about helping find Julie. I've called him at least a dozen times this past week. I'm sure he's tired of hearing from me.
Well, he understands your concern. That's why he asked me to help you.
I'm just a secretary, Mr. Slade. I take home $63 a week. I tried to tell the sergeant that he...
Well, don't worry about fees, Miss Hollander. Sergeant Dinelli does me favors. I do the same for him.
Why would he want to do me a favor?
Where friends are concerned, reasons aren't important. But if I were to take a guess, I'd say the good sergeant has a weakness or a pretty face.
He didn't seem interested in me. He made no pass.
Oh, I didn't mean it that way. Sergeant Dinelli's married, happily married, with three kids. Some people are suckers for a quivering puppy with soulful eyes. A pretty face turns Sid's feelings to jelly.
I see.
I know the symptoms well. You see, I'm also afflicted by a pretty face.
Really? Well, maybe when we get to know each other better, I can do something about it.
I'll keep that in mind. Now, about Miss Rayden, when did you see her last?
It will be a week tomorrow. We were getting ready for work. Julie always left an hour before me.
Everything seemed normal that morning?
Yes.
She didn't act peculiar or say anything that may have struck you as unusual?
No.
Where does she work?
The Marin County Medical Building in Sausalito. She's an assistant to Mr. Caldwell, the pharmacist.
Did she report for work that morning?
Yes. I've spoken with Mr. Caldwell. She worked the entire day, left at her usual time to come home. I guess he was the last to see her.
Does she drive a car?
Yes.
Could she have left the city to visit relatives?
Oh, her parents are dead. She has no close relatives.
What do you mean, no close relatives?
She has a distant cousin in Barstow. She hasn't been in touch with him in years.
How about her other associates?
She has a few friends. And then I called, claimed to have seen her in the past week.
Any boyfriends?
A few casual acquaintances. No one steady. Julie isn't what you'd call a companionable type. She doesn't care much for going out. She's rather shy. I've been trying to pry her out of her shell. You know, get her to go out and mix more. It just doesn't make sense, Mr. Slade. Julie isn't the type to vanish like this.
Perhaps the pressures of big city living became too much for her.
But she wouldn't leave like this. Not without telling me. Without taking her personal thing.
You may be right, but it's a possibility we have to consider.
And what about the other possibility? The one you haven't mentioned?
Anything's possible, Miss Hollander. I know you're aware of that, but, well, there's no reason to believe the worst.
Hello? Yes? You have? Oh, I see. Yes, thank you. That was the police. They found Julie's car, abandoned.
I hoped Julie's car would give me a lead to her whereabouts. Sid was in his office when I arrived.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Sid. I just came from Lynn Hollander's.
Oh, how is she?
Well, she's convinced something terrible's happened to her roommate. Where'd they find her car?
In the parking lot in the Marin County Medical Building. Mr. Caldwell reported it. He's Miss Rayden's employer.
Yeah, I know. Lynn told me.
So it's Lynn already. My, you do work fast.
No, not really. She's only promised to do something about my affliction.
What?
I'll go into it later. Right now, I'm interested in what you found with the car.
Like your little games. Okay, I can wait.
Stout fellow. Now, about the car?
It was clean. Takes us nowhere. She evidently just left it.
Well, I'd say it seems as if someone else was involved in her disappearance.
What makes you think so?
Well, she had to leave the premises somehow.
She could have taken a cab or a bus.
With a car sitting in the parking lot? Was it running order?
Yeah.
Well?
Yeah, possible.
Have you talked with Mr. Caldwell?
No, only over the phone. There wasn't much more he could tell us.
Well, I think I'll pay him a visit anyhow.
Step in here, Miss Pollock. Thank you, Lieutenant.
Hello, Barney.
What are you doing here, Slade?
Discussing a case.
Really? You can wait. This is Sergeant Donnelly. Sir, this is Mr. Pollock of the Westlake Insurance Company.
Pleased to meet you, Sergeant.
Mr. Pollock.
Mr. Pollock is investigating the accidental death of Dr. Gavin's wife. You know, the one that went over the embankment near Cavella Point last Wednesday. Give him whatever he needs.
Right, Lieutenant. Excuse me, ma'am.
See you later.
Right. Step this way, Mr. Pollock.
Thank you, Sergeant. And thank you, Lieutenant. Glad to help.
Well, Barney, what's new with you?
Are you trying to use this office as your own private information center, Slade?
Well, now, wait a minute, Barney, old boy.
Oh, don't give me that. You know how I feel about you private gumshoes hanging around the department.
I'm not hanging around, Lieutenant.
Well, make sure you don't.
Or can I go now, or are you going to book me for lawyering?
Stop trying to be funny, Slade.
I'll stop trying to be funny if you stop trying to be tough.
If you're not out of here in 10 seconds, I will book you for loitering.
All right, I'm going, Lieutenant. Thanks for the warm hospitality. And the next time you're in my neighborhood, drop over. Adios. I wouldn't nominate Lieutenant Flagg for a fellowship award, but he's not as tough as he likes to pretend. Someday I've got to ask him if he takes me as seriously as I take him. I paid my toll and crossed over the Golden Gate on my way to Sausalito. Shafts of sunlight filtered through the cables of the bridge as I drove north. I reached Marin County side and turned off Highway 1, arriving at the medical building a few minutes later. I hoped to talk with Mr. Caldwell would open a door. He was in the rear of the pharmacy.
Mr. Caldwell?
Yes, may I help you?
My card.
Investigator. Oh, is this about Julie Radin, Mr. Slade?
Yes.
I'll be glad to help you in any way I can. Poor child, I hope no harm's come to her.
Is there anything out of the ordinary you can tell me about last Wednesday?
No, not that I can remember.
You see her talking to anyone who may have looked suspicious?
No.
Any phone calls that may have upset her?
I wish I could say yes to help, but there was nothing like that.
What time did she leave?
It's closing time, 5:30.
You see her walk to her car?
No, we said goodnight here in the pharmacy. As you can see from this location, it's impossible to see the parking area.
Mm-hmm. You phoned the police about her car?
Yes, it had been parked in the same spot for a week.
Why did you wait so long to report it?
Well, I wasn't sure it was Julie's car. I checked the registration just this morning and then telephoned the police immediately.
I see. Is there any reason you can think of that would make her leave so suddenly?
I've tried to think of something she may have said or done in the past. Nothing comes.
Tell me, have you ever been short on any of your stock, Mr. Caldwell?
Stock?
Yes. I mean drugs.
No, why do you ask?
I thought Julie may...
Oh, no, Mr. Slade. Julie's not that kind of girl, believe me.
I expected to hear you say that, but I had to ask. Well, there doesn't seem to be any reason to...
Excuse me. Hello. Oh, yes, doctor. Amperin with codeine. Number 2. 12 tablets. As directed. Mrs. Warnick. Warnick. Yes, I'll have them ready for it. Yes, goodbye, Dr. Gavin.
Dr. Gavin?
Yes, he has an office in this building. You know, he lost his wife just last week. A terrible accident.
Yeah, I heard about it.
It seems the cruel hand of fate struck twice in the same place. Mrs. Gavin and Julie. Sometimes it's hard to understand these things.
Well, thank you for your help, Mr. Caldwell.
I wish I could do more.
Well, the pieces don't always fall together right away. You may have helped without realizing it. Caldwell called it the cruel hand of fate. Was it? Mrs. Gavin's death and Julie Radin's disappearance occurring on the same day may have been a tragic coincidence. Before I made up my mind about that, I'd have to find out more about the circumstances surrounding Mrs. Gavin's accidental death. And that meant paying another visit to Lieutenant Flagg's Forbidden City.
Come in, Matt.
Flagg around?
Yeah, he's with the commissioner.
On the carpet, I hope.
What brings you back so soon?
Well, I've just come from seeing Mr. Caldwell.
Did you learn anything?
Possibly. Depends on what you can tell me about that accident at Cavella Point last Wednesday. The one involving a Dr. Gavin's wife?
No, her car missed a curve and plunged over an embankment. It exploded. That's all she wrote. It was an accident.
Any witnesses?
No, but from the skid marks, it was obvious she was traveling too fast to make the curve.
Mm-hmm. What did that insurance investigator think?
Pollock?
Yeah.
No, he made a thorough investigation. He thought there might be an attempt to defraud his company. It seems Dr. Gavin had a large accidental death policy on his wife.
Very interesting. You convinced it was an accident?
Yeah. So is the insurance company. They're paying off to the tune of $100,000.
You see the body, sir?
Yeah, it was burned quite badly.
How was it identified?
Dr. Gavin was able to identify her and...
Yes, of course.
What?
Why, don't you see? He could identify her.
You'll probably think I'm completely out of my mind, but I have a hunch that the woman in that car wasn't Mrs. Gavin.
Who then?
Julie Raiden.
Impossible.
Maybe. It's a wild hunch, but I know a way I can prove it. Look, give me a court order to have Mrs. Gavin's body exhumed.
Now, that is impossible.
Why?
She was cremated.
That's a nice way of getting rid of the evidence, wouldn't you say? A dental records check might have proved me right.
No, give the force a little credit. We did make a dental records check. It proved conclusively that Mrs. Gavin was the victim.
Well, I guess I was out on a limb, which you just very neatly thought of.
Yeah, facts are facts.
I really thought I was onto something.
Any other leads?
None.
Listen, Matt, I know you're doing this only because I asked you. Anytime you want to drop it, it's fine with me.
Who said anything about dropping it?
Oh, I know you're not getting a fee.
Look, I don't mind.
Hey, you got something going on with this Hollander girl?
Could be.
Hey, that reminds me. You were going to tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, she promised to do something about my affliction.
What affliction?
Well, the one we both suffer from.
We?
Yeah, you and me. Didn't you know? We're brothers in malady.
What?
We have no resistance to a pretty face, Sergeant.
Oh, and she's going to do something about that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
Well, I'm not too sure, but it might be interesting.
Hey, sounds wild. Keep me posted, won't you?
You'll be the first to know.
Well, don't you have a home, Slade?
I have a home, Lieutenant.
You'd never know it by the time you spend around here.
Look, Barney, I'm here on business.
Whose business? Yours or ours?
Both. And do I have to remind you that in my line of work, it's not unusual?
Everything about your line of work is unusual.
Do you gentlemen mind if I step in as a mediator?
Stay out of this, Sid.
Look, Slade's got as much right to be here as anyone else, Barney.
Not to interfere in police business for his own personal gain.
Well, then let's just say I came here to pay a social call.
During duty hours?
Which ended 5 minutes ago, Barney. I'm on my own time now.
Okay, so you're on your own time. We don't use the department to entertain private guests, Sergeant.
I think we've been asked to leave, Mr. Slade.
Yes, after you, Mr. Donnelly.
Don't get cute, you two.
No, we wouldn't think of it. Adios, Barney, old boy. We left Lieutenant Flagg boiling with indignation. 15 minutes later, I arrived at Lynn Hollander's apartment. I tried to think of something encouraging to tell her without stretching the truth that I still had no idea what had become of Julie Raiden.
Mr. Slade, come in. Have you found out anything?
I'm afraid not.
Oh. Well, I guess we can't expect miracles the first day.
Keep your chin up.
And keep smiling?
That's right. Now let me see those pearly whites.
How's this?
Pretty.
You can thank my dentist. I just had them cleaned. What is it, Matt?
Of course. Oh, stupid. I should have realized.
What?
Do you know the name of Julie's dentist?
No, I don't recall. Wait, she may have a bill from him. She keeps her bills together. Here. Yes, here. This looks like it.
Yeah, let me see that. I thought so.
What is it, Matt?
I may be crawling out on a limb again, but, well, the coincidence is just too strong.
What coincidence?
Julie's dentist is Dr. Carl Gavin. Lynn's remark about her dentist triggered my hunch machine. I'd been thinking of Dr. Gavin as an M.D. His being a dentist could explain why his wife's dental records checked out. They were forgeries. I had to let Sid know. I phoned him at home. That's my theory, Sid. What do you think?
You're reaching again.
Well, you have to admit it's possible.
I hate to put the damper on your mouth, but it doesn't come as any surprise to us that Dr. Gavin is a dentist. And he couldn't afford the dental records. Mrs. Gavin wasn't her husband's patient. We got the records from a Dr. Whiting, not Gavin.
I see.
Does that convince you?
No. There's still another possibility.
Don't you ever give up.
Indulge one more whim of mine, will you, Sid?
Go ahead.
Meet me at Dr. Gavin's home tonight.
What in heaven's name for?
Will you do it, Sid?
I can't go barging into his house on your whim.
You can find an excuse. A favor for a favor?
I have a feeling this is going to cost me my badge.
What's his address?
Wait a minute. I've got it in my notebook. 783
Cove
Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll probably be there before you.
You wait for me outside. We're going together. I don't want any of your whims getting me into trouble.
I've got a feeling this one will win you a medal.
Or lose you your life.
It took me 10 minutes to reach Cove Avenue. I knew it would take Sid at least 20 minutes. I wanted to be inside before he arrived. Gavin's place was a modest one-story beach house in a middle-class bayfront community. A speedboat was tied to a pier that extended from the rear of the house out into the bay. A handwritten card was pinned over the doorbell. Out of order.
Dr. Gavin?
Yes, can I help you?
I'm from the Westlake Insurance Company.
Oh, I was expecting a Mr. Pollock tomorrow.
I'm sorry if I'm intruding. May I come in?
Yes, since you're here. Well, sit down, Mr.
Slade. Matthew Slade. Forgive me for not phoning first, but I was only a few blocks away.
Oh, that's all right. Do you know if Pollock has heard from your home office?
I don't believe he has.
Oh, then there'll be a longer delay in getting the money.
Probably.
You insurance people really hate to pay off claims, don't you?
Well, not at all, Dr. Gavin. We're in business to pay claims.
Well, then why the delay?
Oh, I'm sure you realize the necessity of investigating accidental death claims. You know, Doctor, there are unscrupulous people who try to defraud insurance companies.
Well, are you insinuating
that... Oh, don't misunderstand me. We have no way of knowing who is and who isn't, so we investigate every claim thoroughly.
Very cautious. Now, why are you here?
I'd like to get some more information.
Well, look, I've told Mr. Pollock everything. It was my understanding he was only waiting for final confirmation.
Well, that's true. However, we found out something that disturbed us a little, Doctor. Perhaps you can acquaint us with the truth.
What are you inferring?
One of your patients told us that you and Mrs. Gavin were on the verge of separating.
Who told you that?
I believe her name was Julie Raiden, but she's since disappeared. Do you care to make a comment, Doctor?
When did she tell you that?
2 days ago.
She couldn't.
She couldn't? Why not?
I mean, she...
Yes?
Just what are you trying to say?
All right, Dr. Gavin, I'll be more direct. Julie Raiden is dead and you killed her.
That's not true.
He obviously knows the truth.
Mrs. Gavin?
I've been listening to your conversation.
I hope you found it interesting.
Oh, yes, very. However, I'd hate to have to end such a brief relationship with a bullet from this gun. That is, before we even know who or what you are.
I'm Matthew Slade, private investigator.
Searching for a revolver car. What's your interest in this, Mr. Slade?
I've been looking for Julie Raiden.
Your search has ended.
What are we going to do with him, Ellen?
I think we'll take Mr. Slade for a little cruise around the bay. Get the boat ready, Carl.
Ellen...
Do as I say.
All right.
Now, please put your car keys on that table, Mr. Slade. It wouldn't do to have your car found in this area.
You think of everything.
Oh, it pays to, Mr. Slade.
My only hope. My lucky rabbit's foot is on that chain. What method have you devised this time?
Why don't we let that remain a surprise? Do you mind telling me what they do here?
I was playing a hunch. After your trumped-up death and the body being conveniently burned beyond recognition, accurate identification depended upon a comparison with your dental records. That, coupled with your husband being a dentist, and the fact that Julie was one of his patients and had also disappeared, gave me the idea that Julie could have been substituted for you, and your name put on her dental records.
That's not how it was done.
Oh, I know. The police exposed part of that theory when they proved the dental records hadn't been tampered with. Then another possibility occurred to me. Why couldn't Dr. Gavin have worked on Julie's teeth, matching them in every detail to your own? Then there would be no need to forge any dental records. They could be kept intact, just in case anyone decided to check. Isn't that the way it was?
There's no harm in your knowing it all now, Mr. Slade. We've been planning this for 3 years, just waiting till we found the right patient. His practice would never make the kind of living I've always dreamed of.
You tricked Julie into leaving the building with you that night.
Carl did. She was a very naive girl. We succeeded in executing a perfect crime, except for your interference, which will soon be eliminated.
Everything's ready.
And now for our cruise, Mr. Slade.
We walked out onto the pier, boarded the boat, and headed out to the bay. The night was black. The water rushing by the hull had an ominous sound.
We're out far enough, Carl. This is as good a place as any. End of the line, Mr. Slade.
I think it's only fair to tell you I'm a pretty fair swimmer.
You haven't been reading the papers. There have been numerous reports lately of an overabundance of sharks in this area.
Never occurred to me I'd wind up as seafood.
Your courage is admirable. But I know what you're thinking. But not all sharks are man-eaters.
I'm not too sure about the ones in this bay.
Oh, I propose to remove any doubt.
You're going to join Mr. Slade, my dear.
You can't be serious.
Yes, my love, I'm deadly serious. I may never get another opportunity as perfect as this one.
Carl, you wouldn't.
You've been a millstone around my neck all these years. I agreed to go along with your plan for the insurance money because I knew I could get rid of you once you'd been presumed dead. You showed me the way, Ellen. And now, my dear...
No, Carl, no.
Put down that knife, Ellen. Put it down. Stay back. No!
They both fell overboard. Mrs. Gavin's knife found its mark in her husband's chest. His shot had ripped through her neck. Now, she was right about those sharks. They were on them in an instant, ripping and slashing. In a few seconds, it was over.
As I headed the small craft back to shore, I could see Sid standing on the pier. I knew it would be difficult for him to believe the story I had to tell, but that didn't bother me half as much as what I would have to tell Lynn Hollander. The fact that we would never find Julie Raven.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.